Wonderful. Okay. In John chapter 3, I can't remember if this is in the body of the sermon or not. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And because he didn't want people to know that he's thinking about following the Lord Jesus, he winds up being a major follower of the Lord Jesus and is participative in the caring for the body of Christ after he is hung on the cross and dies. And Jesus says to Nicodemus in John 3, about verse maybe 18, 19, 20, he says in there, men love darkness. You remember the answer to that? Because their deeds are evil. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Well, the sermon this week is absolutely going to talk about that. We're in the second installment this Sunday of a six-part mini-series called God Is. We're looking into biblical truths. They're biblical. They're also theological. This is like six Sundays of theology, biblical theology that we're going to be learning about things that are true about God. They're practical because these truths absolutely penetrate into everyday life. Ed believes and is convinced that these are also tactical truths. Tactical truths. They are there on purpose. God has a reason in them. They're theological because they teach us about the attributes of God, what God is like. And we're learning that six of his attributes these six Sundays. They're practical because they frame the ways that we process information every day. Right? Very, very practical. Tactical, but because behind every sin, behind every inappropriate attitude is a truth either not believed or believed wrongly or someone that has been taught wrongly about something that is true about God. It may be a truth forgotten or a truth put on the shelf, or guys can do this. Guys kind of work in cubby holes, and I can function over this way and not be considering remotely this theological truth about God over here. Women are different. Women are more like a stream. Every bit of the water touches all the rest of it. Women are more of like a beautiful fabric. Piece of thread in the fabric touches every other thread. You know this, women, that you got a lot more going on in your mind than the guy sitting next to you does. And that's just the way it is. Women are more complicated. Guys, don't try to figure your wife out. Just love her. Treat her like a queen, and you'll get along very, very well. So guys can just set truth aside. Women have to get kind of convinced other ways. To leave a truth of God out of their thinking. We unconsciously set aside truth. Maybe we leave it at home, and that's exactly when our enemy begins to lurk around us, and he wants to take us in a direction that can be really unfortunate. Last week, we dug into to three great but very simple truths that God is, go down, God is, touch screen, good. God is good. God is good all the time. God causes good all the time. That's all that God does is good. Right? Everything about God is filtered through God's goodness. In fact, everything that God does is filtered through all of his attributes. But I believe goodness is right there close to the pinnacle. Goodness and love are right there close to the pinnacle of how God filters all the good that he does. So, since God is good, we don't have to go looking elsewhere for good, right? You don't have to align yourself with little g gods, things that satiate your appetite, things that satisfy your needs. For instance, with me, the word is that chubby people know exactly how many Twinkies it takes to make them feel loved, right? I can give up Twinkies. Right? Because God is good. God loves me all the time. God the Father is good. God the Son is good. God the Holy Spirit is good all the time. God is good. This week, we see that God is all-seeing. God is all-seeing. So we're always in God's view. We're always in his view. God is good all the time, and he is all-seeing all the time. God never sleeps, right? The scriptures teach, he who watches over Israel slumbers not, nor sleeps. God is not like that little Mario character in the games, the Mario games, where if you don't move the character very long, he stretches and he says, I'm tired. And he lays down and he starts to sleep until you move the cursor or something. Then he's up and he's ready to go again, right? God doesn't get tired. He doesn't get worn out. You know, at the end of the creation week, it says God rested. You think that was because he was tired? Actually, it says God Sabbathed. He ceased from his creative work. And he wants us to have ceasing time. So he built that into us. He built into your body the need for rest. God doesn't need to rest because he's tired. He rested. He ceased his creative work for our benefit. Every moment of every day and every night, God always sees you. That's good because it comes out of his goodness. That truth shines a light onto two big lies that humans have believed for thousands and thousands of years. Here's the first. Big lie number one is that, did that jump to? Man, my computer's glitching. Clearly our enemy doesn't want us to see this stuff, right? You can't hide from God. You just cannot hide from God. Generally, you know you're dysfunctional in an area of your life when you hide, when you conceal an activity, like overeating. You know you've got an eating disorder when you sneak around and you eat all by yourself. That you need to examine that. You know you got a drinking problem. If you go around and you hide, you conceal. You got to do that. You got a drinking problem, or worrying, and not telling anybody, right? When you conceal that inner turmoil that's going on in your heart and your life, you are in effect hiding. You're hiding. There are loads of secret sins, secret fears that we live out. And while we are involved in those secret sins, and while we are afraid, it's like we lose our grip on the truth. You cannot hide from God. You just can't. Guess what? This misbelief is ancient. It is ancient. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3. We talked about this briefly in Sunday school today. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. This is right after Adam and Eve sinned. Right after that, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves. Man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Really? I mean, you really? Did that really, like, get in your mind, Adam? That is faulty thinking. It is so dysfunctional. So very dysfunctional. After the devil's first deception, which resulted in Adam and Eve sinning, there is a second deception that God doesn't always see us. It's led by a false hope that Adam and Eve could somehow succeed in evading God by hiding someplace in the garden. Do you really believe God didn't know where they were? I mean, come on. You know, this is like playing hide-and-seek with your child that's kind of in plain view. They're behind a chair. It's got slats through it. You know, they think they're hidden, but they're really not. I mean, compared to God, you know, this is like ant and human. Comparatively, with his ability and their ability, God sees through stuff, folks, right? Superman's got nothing on God. God sees you wherever you are. He sees through foliage, Adam and Eve. It's like they momentarily forgot. They momentarily forgot, or maybe they never learned this particular perfection of God. Maybe they hadn't been around long enough to realize that God sees everything. Whatever it was, that failure to think theologically on their part, so that what they knew about God flowed into real time there in the garden, that failure to think theologically led them to do something that was so very dumb. It was just dumb, right? Hide from God. Come on, Adam. It was costly, too. It was very costly, and they were not the last ones. Look, this goes way back. Adam and Eve were absolutely not the last ones to do this. Over in the book of Joshua, after Jericho fell, Achan hid from God. Remember that guy, Achan? So here's what's going on. Joshua 6 is the invasion of Jericho. It's the marching round and round and round all those days. On the seventh day, the trumpets blew and the walls came tumbling down. And the people were to walk straight in. There was a ban over the things in Jericho. Do not, whatever you do, do not take things that are under the ban. They were in the treasury. They were in the treasury of Jericho, and they're supposed to go into the treasury of God. Silver, gold, stuff like that. That's going in the Lord's treasury. But, like Adam and Eve, Achan messed things up for everybody. Chapter 7, verse 1, he pocketed some of the loot. And then he led that, which led to an awful defeat at the hands of this little bitty town called Ai, also known as Ai. It's spelled A-I, but it's not I, it's I. Am I getting red in the face, or does it just feel like I'm... Sometimes the sin of one weakens the many. In the all, right? Your personal failures weaken Faith Bible Church. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. The Faith Bible Church that could be, can't be, because of Ed Quillen's personal failures. Years and years and years and years, and all of ours weaken by degree the ministry of Faith Bible Church. It was true then. And it's true in churches today. And to turn around failure, to turn around cover-ups, sin must be revealed. It's got to be exposed. Achan hid from God, or so he thought. Verse 19, then Joshua said to Achan, after he sent out those and they brought Achan and his clan, Joshua says to Achan, my son, I implore you, give glory to God, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now, what have you done? Do not hide it from me. Achan answered Joshua and said, truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it. What are you thinking, Achan? God can't see that? You think because you buried it in the dirt in the flooring of your tent and you closed the doors on your tent and you went someplace else that God doesn't know that? Achan, you cannot hide from God. God sees. The spoils of battle blinded him. He blinded him to truth that God sees everything. God is all seeing. And that failure to consider God cost the Israelites a defeat in battle. Many lives were lost going up against the city of Ai, and it cost Achan and his family and even their livestock, it cost them everything. You read down farther in that passage, they were taken out of the city. They were stoned to death. They piled a big pile of stones over Achan and his entire clan and all of his livestock. And then they set it on fire. Everything. The fact is that you can't hide from God. Hiding from God is just faulty thinking. It's just plain faulty thinking. Can a man hide himself in hiding places, Jeremiah 23 says, so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? God speaking here in Jeremiah 23, two huge rhetorical questions, right? And you know, a rhetorical question is a question that has an obvious answer. And the obvious answer is no. No. Adam and Eve, without getting it, that their idea was really pointless, intentionally hid from God. Achan let greed cloud his thinking. And in the heat of the conquest, it may never have crossed his mind that God was watching every false move that he made. In Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira concealed the truth about their offering, and it cost them their lives. Sometimes we hide our sins. At least we think we hide our sins. We close the door. We pull down the shades. We go somewhere we think is unseen. Stop being deceived. Stop believing that lie that your enemy absolutely wants you to buy into. Stop believing that. You cannot hide from God. You just can't. Okay, there's a positive side as well, right? No, you can't hide from God, but you are never hidden from God. You're never hidden from God, even though sometimes it feels that way. You are never hidden from God. Sometimes in all the craziness that's going around you clouds your thinking, and our enemy, the devil, fans those fears. He's all over that kind of deceit. Mark 6, the disciples, they're battling a storm in a fishing boat. They couldn't see Jesus for who he really was. And what happened? They got afraid. They panicked. They freaked out. It's a ghost, they said. We're like them sometimes. We're like them. Sickness or sadness comes. Family dysfunction rolls in. And when we can't see God, we feel like he doesn't see us. But he does. He does. Somebody or something threatens you, and you get so focused on the threat that you feel isolated. You feel isolated, you feel alone. And those are old feelings too. Old, old feelings. The prophet Ezekiel felt abandoned by God. In Lamentations 3, my eyes pour down unceasingly without stopping until the Lord looks down and sees me, or sees from heaven. Really? I mean, this guy's a prophet. Shouldn't he have his stuff together? He's a pastor. Shouldn't I have stuff together better? There are days without the assurance that God has his people in his sights all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and a fourth days a year, God has us in his view. In the book of Job, Job's friend Elihu had his theology right, but he applied his theology wrongly to Job. In Job 36, the beginning of verse 7, he says, "He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous." See, Elihu believed that Job was concealing some sin that he had created, and he just wasn't owning up to it, and that God was punishing Job, and as that punishment, God quit watching over his servant Job. But we know, because we read, hopefully you've read through the book, this is a great epic story, that the end of the book reveals that God saw all of Job's suffering. He didn't miss anything. He didn't miss a thing. Even though he was righteous, Job lost his children, he lost his herds, he lost his health. He was so knocked down that he couldn't see God's larger agenda, which was this conversation with evil, right? The devil said, "Oh yeah, you let me have my way with Job and he'll turn on you. He will so turn on you, God. Take your best shot, Satan." He will not do that. And he didn't. He didn't. Through all of that, he couldn't see God's larger agenda yet. So he thought that God was somehow misseeing, misinterpreting this terrible, terrible plight and blight that was on his life. But the psalmist clears that up. He clears up our view about God. He writes in Psalm 33, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." Other verses I gave you, be sure that you look those up. Spend some time in those other passages this week. Here's the deal. If your confidence is in the Lord, if your hope is on him to come through on bad days, and some days are really crummy, if your confidence is in God, know this. He has you in his view. Right? God always sees. He watches all the time. God sees, he knows, he cares, he is touched with your pain, he understands your confusion. Yeah, but, I mean, everybody get that way? Well, yeah, everybody gets that way. I mean, look at Solomon. He's the wisest man in history. And in Proverbs 5:21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths." Look, even when you feel that you're hidden from God, you're not. You're not. God sees. He sees you every moment. He never takes his eyes off of you. Point at yourself and say, "He never takes his eyes off of me." Never does he do that. Jeremiah captures both perspectives, from hiding from God and feeling hidden from him. Jeremiah 31, verse 28 says, "As I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to bring disaster," that's the downside, "so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord." The eternal name of God, Lord is his eternal name, Jehovah, Yahweh. So says the eternal one. God sees you all the time. He sees each of us and all of us at the same time, every day, day and night, forever and ever. God never sleeps on the job. And he's on the job all the time. He is fully aware of everything pertaining to you. He sees, he knows, and he cares. And his constant watchfulness confirms, or hopefully it will confirm in your heart. A great truth. This is one to take home, folks. It's coming up. It's probably down near the bottom of your outline. Be sure that you catch this one. Take it home. Spread it around. God's vigilance is proof of your value. God's vigilance is proof of your value. The fact that he watches over you all the time should demonstrate to you that God really loves you a lot. He really loves you a lot. Matthew 10, 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the Father. But the very hairs on your head, watch it. Don't look up here too closely. So I went into the men's room between services, and there's Chuck in there. He's just combing that, you know. God. Anyway. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. It's a great line. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Remember Ethel Waters used to sing that old 1905 hymn. Ethel Waters made it famous on a lot of like great big Billy Graham events around the world. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. God values you so very highly that he keeps watch over you all the time, day and night, every day, forever. Every day, forever. God is all-seeing. So we don't have to, so we're always in his view. He always watches you. He always watches those who would harm you as well. He's keeping an eye on them. A question to think about this week is this. Careful, pull your feet back up under your chair a little bit. Are you purposefully watching God watching you? Are you purposefully watching God watching you? Okay, here's your homework. This week, spend some time in all these verses. Believe me, they're absolute gold. Absolute gold. And as I assigned you last week, talk to yourself about them. You know, I'm going to have an EQ talk with EQ this week. Make it a practice to look up toward God, to picture God looking down and loving on you. He looks down in love on you. Make a habit of perceiving that, to watch for it. Look up for God's smile. See that occurring. And three, share with somebody that God seems to them, even when they feel like hiding. God sees them even when they feel like hiding, even feel like when they feel like they are hidden from him. Right? Somebody you know needs to hear this stuff. Some of you really need it. Really, really need it. And somebody that you know really needs to hear this stuff. So pass it around. This is good. It's helpful. It's encouraging. All right? Be witnesses of the all-seeing God this week. Pray with me now. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the great truths about you that are in the Bible. Lord, help us to walk in these truths and to share these truths with someone who is walking in a painful and confusing time in their lives. Help us, Lord, to be watching for those opportunities that you are watching over us for. And we say it in Jesus' name.